You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, they're partying like it's 1999 in Cleveland, the third playoff bid they've locked up since that time. Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein, partying like it's a nice Friday here on Unsportsmanlike. We're getting you ready for the new year on this feel-good Friday. This show, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Browns are going to the playoffs, Mike. They beat the Jets last night, 37-20. It was a game that did not feel close. Really outside of the first quarter. This is a Cleveland offense that has started out game strong, and they have not let their foot off the gas. The defense came alive. Myles Garrett breaks his, I believe, three-game sackless streak before he turns 28 today. So happy birthday, Myles Garrett. Happy day to the Cleveland Browns. They are going to the AFC playoffs, and you think about how they got here. All of the injuries that they had to overcome, whether it was to Nick Chubb, that gruesome leg injury early in the season on that Thursday night game. They lose to Deshaun Watson about the halfway point of the season. They had four different quarterbacks, Flacco included, a part of this winning team. Offensive line injuries galore, wide receiver injuries. Yet this is a team that just won its 11th game of the season, which ties the record that they had the last time they went to the playoffs during the COVID year. Vastly different circumstances this time around, same coaching staff, same front office, and this group is, dare I say, overachieving in ways when a lot of people wrote them off and said maybe this is the fourth best team in the AFC North.
I was one of those people at the beginning of the year, without question. I thought that every other team in the AFC North had a better path. As good as their defense was, I just was not sold on their offense, and what we've seen from this offense, especially since Joe Flacco has been their quarterback, has been nothing short of phenomenal. This team is playing like they can theoretically be a Super Bowl contender. Not the Super Bowl favorite. I'm not ready to go there, Courtney, but they can absolutely be a Super Bowl contender this year, and we'll see what happens, because in one game, when you have a defense like that, anything can happen. Because we've seen it. We saw it, I mean, not to go back to last week, but you saw it in that Vegas-Kansas City game. Two turnovers in 7 seconds completely changed the tenor of that game. This Browns defense can do something similar to that and completely change the tenor of a playoff game. That's why they can be in any game against any team that's going to be in the postseason.
Four straight games for Joe Flacco where he's thrown for at least 300 yards. He does it on Thursday night without Amari Cooper, leads this team into the postseason. We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski in a minute. Don't want to jump the gun, but let's hear from the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns who's been there all of 5-6 weeks now. This is what it feels like in the moment for Joe Flacco.
I don't want to step back yet. I mean, obviously, we're going to have a three-day weekend here where I'll probably get a chance to, but I want to try to stay in the moment as much as possible. Every now and then, you get a couple, like right now, it's already midnight. I mean, but you'll get a couple hours here before I fall asleep that you'll kind of get to lay around and think about how cool of a night it was, you know, and hopefully I can, like, I'll try to let those 2 hours linger as long as possible so I can enjoy it a little bit. Because by the time you wake up the next day, you're like, okay, you know, that felt good, but we got to start to move on a little bit.
We'll find out when they're playing in Week 18 in a couple of days. They go to Cincinnati to end the season. We remember what happened there the first game of the year in the monsoon-like conditions. Their defense played pretty darn well against the Bengals at home. We'll see if that trend continues. But this is a group that, and we were talking about this earlier, so I want to pay this off. Coach of the year, GM of the year, so executive of the year, defensive player of the year, potentially comeback player of the year. I don't know what Joe Flacco's necessarily coming back from. I don't know if he could even fall into that category regardless. It feels like that award might be going to DeMar Hamlin.
I was going to say, yeah.
For pretty obvious reasons. But, like, think, like, all of those things that I just talked about that they had to overcome to get to this point, I don't know how any of those individual awards, which again, it's not the end-all be-all, but those are necessary to talk about. I don't know how you can't give it to every single person, maybe not Joe Flacco, but all the other three that I just mentioned, considering the roster construction, the coaching of this team through a really dark time, and the way that this defense has consistently played, even with its best player. Maybe those sack numbers were stagnant for 3 weeks, but it wasn't like he was not affecting the opposing quarterback. He was.
He absolutely was. Now, DeMar Hamlin, it feels like that's like a lock for comeback player of the year. Even though DeMar Hamlin hasn't played a ton, the everything that's surrounding what happened with DeMar Hamlin, rightly so, should be comeback player of the year. That if there's any award that's a certainty, Courtney, it feels like that will be it. What, coach of the year is an interesting question. Kevin Stefanski should absolutely be in that conversation without question, but I think he's in that conversation with D'Amico Ryans, especially if Houston ends up making the playoffs and they've now not had C.J. Stroud for the last couple of weeks. Dan Campbell should be in that conversation for what he's done in Detroit, considering the history of that organization as well. Those are some of the guys that maybe should be talked about, along with Kevin Stefanski. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Stefanski has a fantastic argument to win Coach of the Year because, as you said, this is their fourth quarterback. They lose their best offensive playmaker in Nick Chubb. They've gotten a resurgent Amari Cooper, and he's helped coach stuff out of that. And don't forget, too, Courtney, at the beginning of the season, Kevin Stefanski was being talked about when we were doing all the, like, who's on the hot seat coaching questions to start the year. Kevin Stefanski was almost always on one of those lists, and now his seat might be one of the coolest in the NFL. Yeah.
Further down our list, I don't think either you and I had him and on like the, wow, this is a make or break season.
He wasn't Brandon Staley, no.
He wasn't Brandon Staley, but he also, you know, was still in that conversation. He worked his way out of it, though. The way that this team was able to win in spite of all of the bad stuff that happened this year on the field, that deserves a very serious consideration for that award. Let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns now. He was asked following the win last night, when was the moment he knew that this team was a playoff contender?
Going into every season, you feel like you have a good pulse of your team. You know, it's a credit to Andrew and his crew. We have talented football players in this team. And we've had to, obviously, our depth has been tested in different areas throughout the season. But I think it's a really strong roster. I think we have an unbelievable coaching staff that I get to work with every single day. So felt good about this team. Now, you don't know in this NFL, my God, there's things that happen you can't predict. So for us to just stay the course throughout the season, I'm proud of this team.
They start out the year 2-2, so those wins over Cincinnati, they lose at Pittsburgh, they beat Tennessee, they lose to Baltimore, a team that they could run into again in the playoffs, a team that's currently the number one seed in the AFC. But the win against San Francisco, I know people are going to say, oh, that came down to a field goal. Christian McCaffrey wasn't playing. Trent Williams, you know, went out with injury. They still won that game, and then there was the stretch, Arizona at Baltimore. And then Pittsburgh, again, they wrote their wrongs for the losses that they had against their two other AFC North opponents earlier in the season. And right now, they're riding a four-game winning streak. Jacksonville, Chicago, Houston on the road, and then at home against the New York Jets. They close out the season with Cincinnati. Cincinnati next week, but that's on the road. Like, you play your best football in December if you are a serious playoff contender. And the schedule that I just read you, they... Outside of that loss that they had against the Rams, they have played their best football in December.
They have a loss to the Rams. This iteration of the Rams now.
The one that showed up in December, not the
right,
early season.
Right. It is way different than the one, if they lost to the Rams in September or October, different conversation when we're talking about the Rams. The Rams are a sneaky sleeper Super Bowl contender out of the NFC, so that's not a loss to be mad about if you're the Browns. And honestly, it's not the worst thing in the world, as long as you end up making the postseason, to lose a game in December or January. And before you think that's blasphemous, people who are listening, losses help accentuate problems that need to be fixed, where wins often will hide some of those problems because you're still winning and you think everything's fine. A loss can sometimes focus a team, and I'm not saying that that's what happened in Cleveland. However, I'm saying that that can help a team say, okay, you know what, if we want to get to where we think we can, and in Cleveland, that conversation doesn't happen every year.
Yeah.
You need to fix X and Y, or in this case, you need to go to Joe Flacco as your quarterback and name him your starter the rest of the year. And by the way, he made another $75,000 last night as well, because every start that he makes when he's part of the 53-man roster and plays at least 50% of the snaps, he gets an extra $75,000. He's up to $225,000 now.
Hey, not, good for him.
Yeah,
he needs the money. He's made $175 million in his career, but those are nice incentives to hit for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's an extra little added bonus for him. I think if they win the Super Bowl, I have to go back and check this, so my math may be a little off. He can get up to $4.05 million in incentives.
Not bad.
That's still, you know, really good for him, even though he's made, well, I think 100 and something million.
175 career, but, yeah. million. And that's over the course of a very lengthy career. I was in college when Joe Flacco was drafted more than a decade ago. He played for the Baltimore Ravens. We know about the Super Bowl win that they had. And the conversation, I feel like, gosh, I'm like dating myself here with this. It's like the Joe Flacco, is he elite conversation that you brought up earlier, Mike. Did the defense win that game for the Baltimore Ravens during the 2012 Super Bowl, or was it Joe Flacco? Did he do just enough? Well, I was cautiously optimistic when the Browns signed him. Could that version of Joe Flacco show up again at his 38? He's 38 years old. He'll soon be 39. Is it possible that the version of yourself from the very beginning, more or less, of your career could all of a sudden be tapped into again? Because players, you know, typically skill players, other position players, I'm thinking about Mercedes Lewis, actually. This is where I want to go with this,
okay?
Because I know quarterbacks are different, but like Mercedes is somebody who's been playing in the NFL for 18 years. A lot of different teams. Started his career in Jacksonville, had, you know, came up to Green Bay. Now he's with the Chicago Bears. He scored his 40th touchdown the other day in the win over the Cardinals. And I remember asking him about it after the game, like, you know, what does that mean? He's like, well, it means the work is still working. He's just in a different phase of his career now. And he's more proud to talk about what he did as a run blocker that game as a tight end, because he's not sent out on routes all the time at this phase of his career. It's just another chapter. And I thought about that as it pertained to Joe Flacco, the early season version of himself. Like, does a strong arm really go anywhere? Because sometimes we see guys lose the ability to put a zip on the ball, lose their accuracy, all of those things as they get older. As more time has passed since they've been on successful teams, been in offenses that put them in position to win, which if you're looking at Cleveland thinking right place, right time, right scheme, right coach, right situation, you're not wrong. Like, I don't know if Joe Flacco would have been able to do what he's doing right now for a handful of other teams. We've talked about the New York Jets. Why didn't they sign him? He was just sitting out there. Well, maybe they looked at it and said, hey, he's been here before. Last season, he started a couple games for them. It didn't go well. Maybe they thought they had a better chance with, dare I say, Trevor Siemian, the quarterback that started last night because Zach Wilson's hurt. And Tim Boyle is, I don't know where Tim Boyle is. Frankly, I don't think many people do. But there's other teams, too. Like, what about...
I hope his family knows where he is.
I'm sure he's fine. The Arizona Cardinals, the Minnesota Vikings, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, there's teams that are going to be talking about this morning. Man, you see what Joe Flacco did? Do you think he could have done this here? I don't think it's as cut and dry of an argument to say, like, yes, this version would have been showing up on other teams. He walked into a situation that got the absolute best out of him and continues to do it on a game-by-game basis.
He did. I don't know if Pittsburgh would have worked out for him. I think Minnesota would have been a good spot for him potentially, and he maybe could have replicated some of this because Kevin Stefanski obviously also came from Minnesota, obviously different coaching staff at that point, but it would have been a interesting situation for him in Minnesota because Kirk Cousins, they're somewhat similar quarterbacks. But this is the best situation for him. You mentioned Mercedes Lewis, and in Atlanta, Calais Campbell's been playing for 16 years and at a very consistent level still. Last weekend, he actually made extra $500,000 because he eclipsed five sacks. And he has talked to me a lot about longevity and how he's been able to do that and taking care of your body. And that's something that we're seeing with Joe Flacco right now. We might see more going forward because there's so much more information and understanding of science and the nutrition science and what needs to happen to take care of your body that we didn't even see 15 years ago, 10 years ago, the last time that you had generations of athletes trying to push for this, that we might see more late career rejuvenations like we're seeing out of Joe Flacco. Don't forget, Tom Brady was still playing well when he retired. Aaron Rodgers theoretically seemed like he was going to be playing well this year in a rejuvenated situation with the Jets. And I know we're talking about quarterbacks, but you might see it across positions as guys take the care, the importance of taking care of their bodies and recovery and health and sleep much more seriously because of the more science and data out there than there's been in the past, Courtney.
Yeah, we'll leave it here. There's plenty more to talk about on that element of the conversation, but Joe Flacco is doing really cool things right now, and this team in Cleveland is headed to the playoffs. On Sportsmanlike Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, boat, RV, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. We've got a big one coming up Saturday night in Dallas. Does any team have more pressure on them than the Cowboys? We discuss next here, ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
29 yards on the right hash. Here's the kick, and it's good as time expires, and the Dolphins, they win the game 22-20.
We'll have to build off it. We'll have to use the good, make sure we get better from the things that weren't up to standard.
That was a rough one, which you heard on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. The Cowboys coming off their second straight loss, second straight one that they dropped on the road. That was last week against Miami. They head home for some Saturday night football, hoping to get back on track against the Detroit Lions. This is on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio with Evan Canty and Michelle. Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein sitting in for the crew on this Friday. Mike Tannenbaum is coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose, our ESPN NFL front office insider. First off, friend, Happy New Year. Hope that the holidays have been good to you and your family. We appreciate you joining us here early on this Friday morning. Let's start with that Dallas game. Does any team right now have more pressure to prove that they can become a different identity in the postseason, considering Dallas is probably going to have to go win some of these games on the road more than the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, great to be with you guys. Happy holidays to you and your families. Good to be with you. Look, I think there's been a lot Courtney made about this home and away situation with Dallas, but I think it's really much more about them playing with the lead. And credit Miami, especially in that last drive last week to win that game. Had that not had happened, I think we'd come out of that game talking about Dak Prescott and this sort of MVP campaign that he's having. So even Saturday night, I think the best way to slow down this Detroit running game is by Dallas scoring early. So whether it's home or away, and if they don't win the NFC East, they could be on the road again like last year at Tampa Bay, where again they'll be a road favorite. And those games are going to come down to them playing really well on offense early. That will help what they do best on defense, which is rush the passer.
Mike, you mentioned Detroit. Detroit is who's playing Dallas on Saturday night on ESPN ABC. But they are clinched. They have a playoff berth. They're going to host a home playoff game for the first time since 1993. The Ford Field wasn't in existence yet. The fact that this team hasn't been to the postseason in a long time and hosted a playoff game in a while, is Does that maybe change the level of pressure that could be on them when they get to the postseason in a couple of weeks?
I don't think so, Michael. I had the privilege of actually working with all those guys. I worked with Aaron Glenn, hired Dan Campbell to be our interim coach in Miami in 2015. Ben Johnson was on our staff. They're great guys. They're great coaches, and they're great leaders. So that program really was embodied from Dan's opening press conference about the whole kneecap. Like, that's just more of a mindset that he has. And if it's preseason, regular season, or postseason, they're going to play well on the road. They have a really good offensive line. They have a quarterback that's efficient, who for the most part doesn't turn it over. Their defense is still, to me, a little bit of a work in progress. But I think because of Dan Campbell's like mindset and leadership, I don't think when, where, or who they play is really going to impact them.
ESPN front office NFL insider Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Unsportsmanlike. Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein sitting in for the crew on this Friday morning. Let's jump back to last night, the first game of the Week 17 slate. The Browns get it done. They're headed to the playoffs, 37-20. And Joe Flacco's renaissance at this point of his career is a subject that Mike and I have been going through all morning, where the thought of him being able to do this on other teams, it's come up. Like, could he have done this for the Jets? Could he have done this for the Minnesota Vikings? Could he have done this for Pittsburgh? Teams that have needed quarterbacks but didn't call Joe Flacco. Like, how do you read this situation? Is it just that everything aligned for him perfectly in Cleveland for this to happen? Or is there going to be some regret from some other teams this morning that they didn't place that call to Joe Flacco a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, Courtney, no question about it. I mean, if you're the Jets, go back to September 11th, and it's four snaps into the season. You had Joe Flacco before. Of course, they're sitting there last night saying, like, wow, what could have been? And he is playing unbelievably good football. Since he's taken over, they're seventh in the league in yards per attempt, which is just shows you how well he's getting the ball down the field. They're going to be a real dangerous out in the playoffs, and absolutely, all those teams you mentioned, and even more candidly, are probably sitting there saying, wow, we could have signed him in the offseason. And where would our season have been? I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. Their fourth quarterback, no Nick Chubb. They're missing their top three offensive tackles. They would have every excuse in the book not to, you know, be competitive. And here we are. They still have a chance at the one seed.
Kind of sticking with Cleveland and more over the bigger state of quarterbacks in the NFL, what Flacco is doing now, does this put him in position if he, say, wants to play one or two or three more seasons where a team might look at him and say, you know what? You look at the quarterback play around the league, backups or starters, hasn't always been very good this year. We're going to maybe give Joe Flacco a little bit more of a guaranteed shot in 2024 somewhere.
Yeah, speaking of guaranteed, Michael, like how about the Cleveland Browns? Like, yeah. if the three of us were running the Cleveland Browns, there is the whole notion of we go by what we see. There has not been a period of time that Deshaun Watson has played as good as Joe Flacco. And I'm just telling you, those are conversations they're going to have because you can't ignore what's happening right now. Look, we all know that Deshaun Watson has fully guaranteed money for the next 3 years. But at some point, you have to say to yourself, we have a chance to really, again, this year, they're still alive for the one seed. We have a chance to meaningfully compete. So if I'm running the Browns, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a really talented quarterback that we just drafted from UCLA, is really interesting. Joe Flacco, do we bring them all back next year? And if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I know the contract's the contract and what we gave up for Watson, but those are conversations you have to have because Joe Flacco's earned it.
All right, Mike T, we'll get you out of here on this. In the spirit of the new year coming up, do you have a favorite sports moment from 2023? It doesn't have to be NFL. You can stay there if you want, but asking this throughout the show. What's yours?
You know, it's kind of actually interesting. We were just talking this morning, getting ready for Get Up. You know what was really cool yesterday, guys? You know, I'm a Northeast person, born in New York, grew up in Boston. Football is my love. And yesterday, there was football games played on the same day in Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park. I think that's really cool.
That was awesome. That was awesome. The Fenway Bowl and then the Pinstripes Bowl that took place over at Yankee Stadium. Got plenty more college football action coming your way today.
How about the weekend, too? Just curious, how about for you guys? What was your favorite moment?
We did our season wrap-up show on Around the Horn last week. So I said my favorite moment was LSU women's basketball beating Iowa in that championship game. We've never seen a moment like that in women's sports that brought in that many eyeballs to a product that is growing nationally. Like 9.9 million people watched that game on that Sunday afternoon, and that was the first of a massive run. We had a caller on this earlier this morning who talked about LSU women's basketball, and then it was the baseball team winning a national championship, the Heisman Trophy winner. But that was my answer. Mike Rothstein, what was yours?
Mine was actually, we talked about it a little bit last hour, was the entirety of the women's NCAA tournament and kind of the moment that pushed potentially the sport of women's basketball to a different level, whether it's this year or once Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Georgia Amore and Elizabeth Kitley, they all move to, and Haley Van Leith, they move to the WNBA and what that can take. But since Courtney also took that, I'll throw a second one out there in kind of is another women's sports actually moment. So I cover boxing for us too. Amanda Serrano challenged the convention of women fighting 10 two-minute rounds and fought a unified championship in October. I actually covered it. 12 three-minute rounds, which is the same as the men in boxing. And she's trying to basically change the entire thought process behind how women's boxing is viewed within that sport. And that, to me, being in that arena when she sold out, it was a small venue, but sold out that small venue, they're going nuts for her there. And then she goes and accomplishes what she's able to do and now says she's only going to fight 12-3. That, to me, in the sport I cover, was something that really stood out as well.
That's a good one. All right, Mike T's coming up on Get Up. You can catch him there, and we will see you in the 2024 New Year. It's just a couple days away. Appreciate it, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Mike Dannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein here on Unsportsmanlike. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Phone lines are open on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Best sports moment of the year, worst sports moment of the year. That's coming up next here on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio has you covered for bowl game action. Tune in today for the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, followed by the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, coverage beginning 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Oops, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. I don't want you to miss a moment of that, so please don't listen to what I initially said. Please tune in at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Unsportsmanlike. Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein sitting in for the crew on this Friday morning. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. That's the number to get in this morning. We're asking you your best sports moment of 2023, worst sports moment of 2023 in the spirit of the new year coming up. We've done a lot of good ones. Let's go with the worst sports moment now. Mike, I know that you've got one teed up. I got to think about mine, but maybe Sherman in Florida can help trigger my memory a little bit. Sherman, you're on ESPN Radio. What you got?
Yeah, you already know my first one. Is when Florida State got snubbed for not playing championship game.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I still feel like there's some Florida State Seminoles hurting right now. And when you've got a national audience feeling sorry for Florida State, like, you know, something went wrong with what happened this year. I don't know. Do Sherman, I thought he said he might have had another one, but I mean, I don't think he's still there. Mike, Florida State, like, will that go down as the biggest? I mean, that's biggest snub of the year for sure. Worst moment, you know, watching Mike Norvell in that room and all the players when ESPN had cameras in there when they were doing the CFP announcement. Like, I felt for all of them in that moment. And I've been a big proponent that this is, an atrocity in college football that it got to this point, because the reason that we don't have the BCS anymore is to not have computers decide who should be playing for a national championship. When they did everything that they needed to do, they won their conference, they went undefeated, they won the conference championship, actually by a larger margin than what Alabama did against Georgia, and they weren't rewarded for it. Like, this is not going to be a stain that can be wiped off just because we're going to a 12-team playoff next year. I feel like this is going to be something, a sticking point for that fan base forever.
Oh, no question, especially if they go and they beat Georgia, and they very well could go and beat Georgia in the Orange Bowl over the weekend here, because this is one that might, depending who wins the college football championship, national championship, early next year, this could be someone's worst moment as a Florida State fan for 2024 as well. So this could be a two-year worst moment for certain fans of the Florida State Seminoles. So the one that I've had, Courtney, that's just been stuck in my head has been one that's gone on pretty much all year, and it's just the New York Mets. They're my worst sports moment of the year, just as a team, as a franchise. Courtney, you know this. As sports writers, we don't really root for teams that much anymore. But maintained
that's your hometown. That's
right.
Like,
I've maintained
my
Mets fandom.
Grew up watching.
Yeah, I've maintained my Mets fandom. It's something that bonds my father and I. It's something that I enjoy. And I'm not someone who watches a lot of baseball on TV, but I love going to games. But I will pay attention to the Mets. And this season looked like it was going to be it, and it was going to be there. And they had Scherzer, and they had Verlander, and they had
Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, DeGrom was already gone, but they had all these other, like, their lineup was really good. And then, you know, Edwin Baez gets hurt, and you lose him at the start of the year. Or Diaz, sorry, gets hurt at the start of the year, Tommy Trumpet. And then it just falls apart from there. And I was actually on ESPN Radio with Myra Metcalf. If you did not know I was a Mets fan, the night that they traded Scherzer, and I lost it. I mean,
why?
He asked
for a trade, and that was, I mean, Buck Showalter, all of them had, like, said that that was going to happen. They had to blow it up at the deadline. You'd be even more mad right now if they tried to, like, push that thing through and ended up not making the postseason, which they didn't make to begin with.
No, they were, what made it the worst moment of the year was that they had so much expectation, so much potential, and by June, it was like, all right, cool, baseball season's over. Go watch it in 2024, because they were that bad.
So were you, when Scherzer, after, you know, months and months of complaining, like he always does just about everything, whether it's the pitch clock, whether it's for the sticky stuff, when he got traded to the Rangers and then ends up, you know, not being able to contribute nearly as much as they needed him to because of the oblique injury. Were you, like, secretly happy about that?
No, because I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want, like, I don't believe in rooting for injuries, right? But I was not happy to see Scherzer get hurt. I would not be happy to see anyone get hurt, but I was just more annoyed at the fact that the Mets, much like their crosstown compatriots, the New York Jets, just can't have nice things.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, doing your best moment of the year, worst moment of the year here on Unsportsmanlike. Wesley in Kansas City, you're on ESPN Radio. Why are the Chiefs your worst moment of the year? They may not be, but, like, I'm just hoping that that's what you're calling in about.
Well, can you explain something to me? They have exactly the same roster as they did this year is last year, and they won the Super Bowl. But easily the worst moment for me would be Kadarius Toney lining up offsides. You know, and Travis Kelce was having a career year, yes, last year. And then this would have been his highlight of his entire career. Don't you agree?
I mean, yeah. You heard Patrick Mahomes say that play wiped off, you know, one that we'd be talking about. He's got Kelce has a Hall of Fame career, is a Hall of Fame play. I thought Mahomes overdid it in that moment because Kadarius Toney was so blatantly offsides and didn't check with the official to make sure that he was not going to get flagged for, you know, being lined up in the neutral zone. Here's the problem with the roster. Like, is it similar to, is it by and large the same roster as it was last year? Yes, but new offensive tackles, not saying it's the end all be all, but, like, receiver-wise, don't you think they probably wish they would have had somebody like Juju Smith-Schuster? I mean, he may have been a pain in the butt in a lot of respects, but at least he wasn't dropping passes to the clip Marquez Valdez-Scantling is. And Travis Kelce is another year older. So, I think all of those things factor in. And also, let's not forget the biggest one in the room. Eric Bieniemy is no longer the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. It's Matt Nagy now. So that certainly plays a role in it.
It does. And also, Isaiah Pacheco's been dealing with injuries. There's been a whole confluence of stuff. And Sky Moore has not developed how I think they probably thought he was going to after they took him out of Western Michigan in the second round. Rashee Rice is a rookie, and while he's had a decent impact, he hasn't had that 1,000-yard, 1,200-yard impact that maybe they were hoping for when they took him in the second round out of SMU. The receiver problem is real in Kansas City, and if you sit there, like, Courtney, you know, we're at the end of the season, and they have us do – because I cover the Falcons for ESPN, you cover the Bears, they have us do the biggest offseason needs. If receiver isn't the first offseason need for the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's number one, number two, number three priorities for them. They've got to get somebody, anybody in there who's capable of catching passes and also capable of working with arguably still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Not arguably. Like, Patrick Mahomes is not blameless for what's gone on in Kansas City, but it also was not him lining up offsides, as our caller just Wesley just pointed out about what happened in Kansas City a couple weeks ago and that loss that they had to the Buffalo Bills. Keep calling. I see Steve, Sam, D, Alva. Stay on the phones. We'll get to you later on in the show here on Unsportsmanlike. But straight ahead, Pat's got some griping to do on I'm Over It. That's coming up next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Feel Good Friday on ESPN Radio. Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein sitting in for the crew on Unsportsmanlike. But of course, we have to be peeved about something. You can't have a daily segment called I'm Over It without Pat Costello, our producer, having something grind his gears. So, Pat, where do we start this morning?
Well, we miraculously learned that somehow you don't know who James Caan is, and also possibly you didn't know that Han Solo was in Star Wars. I don't know how either of those things are possible.
That was literally a joke. I knew because
was it?
Yes, it was, because Cam Pratt, who you can see there if you're watching on ESPN2 right now, off in the corner.
Why did you say it like that?
Because I can't see your head. It's literally cut off in the screen.
He's off in the corner making his little comments.
There we go. Yeah, pretty much that too. No, you're going the wrong way. Turn it the back the other way. Anyways,
sorry, the camera broke.
He said that I have a lot of pop culture blind spots, which he's not wrong about, and made reference to how Bubba, one of the producers on Greeny, will ask a question and be like, best Han Solo or best Harrison Ford movie? And I said The Fugitive, which is kind of, I wouldn't say it's a deep cut, but that's not
answer.
What you would think of. And then you, Pat, said something like Han Solo, and I made the joke as we were going back on air because I knew you couldn't retort to it. I'm like, who's Han Solo? Like, that was a joke.
Yeah, but would you blame us if we believed you?
No, because that's Star Wars. Yeah, like, I know at least the base knowledge of Star Wars from, like, the beginning movies. I couldn't tell you how many episodes or whatever it is now. I don't know anything about that, but I know from like the 70s Star Wars who Han Solo is. So you can't say that I'm like that dumb when it comes to pop culture.
What about James Caan?
I'm disappointed in the James Caan.
Sorry,
Courtney,
I don't
honestly.
Know who. Okay, who is that? I don't know.
Just to James be clear, Caan. We were talking about James Caan, and you said, "Is that the dad in Elf?"
Because we were talking about Elf. How do we got in this? Because we were talking about insults of what I would call somebody. I called somebody a butthead, like, and then we got to like that's a childish insult. I'm like, well, I was referring to somebody I thought was a butthead, a child. Meaning like not a nice guy. I'm like, I could have called him a cotton-headed ninny muggin, which is what Elf, Buddy the Elf, like said that was the biggest insult you could make. And that's how the James Caan thing came up, because Mike said something along the lines of, I can't believe they got him to play that.
No, Pat said that.
That role. And then somebody else said, yeah, about The Godfather and some of these other things. So that's how we got on the subject. And yeah, no, I don't know who he is.
The Godfather and some of these other things.
James Caan's one of the best actors of his generation. Stop and sentence. May he rest.
Yes,
bad job
radio.
By you, Courtney. I hate this has happened a couple times today. And it's made me mad every time. Saying Happy New Year before it's New Year. We're days away from it being 2024, and we're already saying Happy New Year to people.
So you're
it's still 2023.
Who have said that this morning?
And you guys have said it too.
What would you like me to say? Happy New Year's Eve?
Just don't say anything.
Just say, hey, how you doing?
What do you want from us,
hello.
What do you say every other day of the year?
It's 2024. It's not the new year.
But this is the last weekday until...
Thank you.
Next
year. Last time we're going to be on until Monday, which is the new year.
Right.
So
at which point on Monday you would say Happy New Year because it's a new year.
But like,
well, Pat,
the whole
at the end
premise
of the show, I'm going to say sad
show,
new year to you.
No, the whole premise of today's show is putting a bow on 2023 in a lot of respects, and that's what we're doing by saying, hey, it's almost the new year. Happy New Year's Eve to everyone that's currently listening.
Yeah.
That actually sounds awful. Why would you? I'd rather say Happy New Year than that.
Or just, yeah. Well, hello.
You'd be being more accurate if you did say that, so.
But it's a gen... Okay, it's not, but it's... Okay, so when people on, like, December 22nd, and I'm not a Merry Christmas person. I believe everyone should say Happy Holidays. But on December 22nd, if someone says Merry Christmas, are you angry at that, Pat?
No, but I always go with have a Merry Christmas.
But that's
have a Happy New Year.
There you
Is
go.
That what you wanted
there
to
we
start
go.
Saying?
That would be better.
All right.
Have a Happy New Year, Pat.
Mike, didn't you have something that was bothering you this morning?
Yeah, all of 2023 has bothered me, but that's. That's a long conversation.
I mean, fair. That's why he keeps saying Happy New Year. He's ready to be.
Yeah,
over
I'm
this
ready
year.
For. I'm Pump ready for 2024. I'm not a believer necessarily in like January 1st resolutions because I think people that start things on January 1st are not doing it. They're doing it because they feel like maybe they have to, not because they want to. And there's science that shows that if you start something January 1st, you are less likely to stick with it. So I try to start stuff on either December 30th or like January 6th or something like that because it triggers something in my brain at least. But no, I'm over 2023. Too much annoying stuff has happened in my life personally in 2023. I'm just ready for this to be bye.
Clearly.
I thought there was something else that you were upset about this morning that you sent in our group chat.
Oh.
Are you having short-term memory loss?
I like I that am. You're, try- I'm gonna you're trying to lead him towards something, and he has no idea what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Mike, it was the thing about him. Like, I'm him.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Stop saying I'm him. Just stop that. Like, stop. Like, I
Why?
Like, not everyone is – well, I mean, everyone is
– It's true.
Him, her, they, whatever pronoun you choose, but – not everybody, just because someone makes a shot, he is him. No,
Joe Flacco.
Stop.
Joe Flacco is him.
No, yeah, no, that's great.
Michael is okay. Clearly not him.
No, I am not.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
I am fine with that, Javonte. I am fine with that. No, thank you for reminding me because I've forgotten
You're
about
welcome.
That last night.
That's
it triggered.
Does.
No, it triggered me because they had said that on the Celtics Pistons broadcast of I forget who it was. They're like, he is him, and I'm like. But like that's not even like good like that's not proper. Just no. Why?
How do you feel about when they incorporate him into the person's name? Like it like him.
Timothy.
Him Vontae Lawrence is what I would call him.
Just him Fields. I
yeah,
hear that.
Just
one a
him
lot.
Fields.
I shake my head. Hemi Butler is a good one. I shake my head like the middle-aged man that I am, and then I want to be like the Grandpa Simpson meme where he walks into the bar, he looks around, he hears that, he takes his hat and walks right back out. Like, that's where I'm at.
Him Cole Rothstein?
Ooh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, because he's not him.
Pat, do you have another one?
Yeah, I've got one last one. And it's the fact that Javonte just will not stop talking about Adam West and how much he loves the 1966 Adam West Batman, both the movie and the TV show. He will not stop. He hasn't stopped since yesterday talking about how much he loves it. People have been coming in like, Javonte, please, we get it. You love 1966 Batman. Like, please stop talking about it. And he just won't stop doing it.
He loves it so much.
It's insane.
He dragged you into that because I don't know where that came from. I don't know how it's still a thing.
It came from Javonte's love for Adam West.
Yeah, what do you mean?
In my life, how I say this.
It came because he loves Cesar Romero so much that he just keeps bringing up Batman from 1966.
Cesar Romero him.
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero.
Javonte, do you even know who Adam West is?
Yeah,
oh
I've heard
my
him.
God.
He was the dad in Elf, right?
He was a Family Guy.
Adam West wasn't Family Guy. That's okay. I know that.
He actually wasn't Family Guy, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only part of the reference that I know. See, Javonte, you and I can be the cultural, pop culture peons here. Although you probably know way more.
Javonte is not a pop culture peon just because he's not actually a huge fan of the Adam West Batman series.
Wait, yeah, I think I don't want to be alone in this.
You don't know who Han Solo is. He doesn't know who the worst Batman is.
Whoa, easy.
Him Solo.
The worst.
Stop.
Batman? Him Solo. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Himison Ford.
Give us your Hemi of the year if you want to go that route since we're celebrating New Year's Eve here on Unsportsmanlike. Courtney Cronin and Mike Rothstein coming up next. We'll get back into your calls. Plus more on the Cleveland Browns partying like it's 1999. That's coming up next. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Him.
I'm Batman.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.